music then. Sorry, that's not appropriate. It's not professional.
Right?
it is appropriate. It's not professional. Who cares?
Is anything we do professional?
Yes. Actually, I would say a lot of this. And I'll say absolutely we do some professional stuff on here. And that just wasn't one of our more professional moments. Welcome to Monday Fun Day. This is week 5 of our podcast. It's myself, Mike Keller from Q104.
Hey, it's Brian Truda from KC1021.
And Shaylee from KC1021 and Promotions.
Right. The point of this podcast is we usually start with Kansas City sports or just sports in general, and then we see where the conversation goes from there. And so far, people seem to like it.
We like it.
Yeah, except for
I think we like it pretty well, yeah.
Well, we do. And then the feedback's been well. We've been trying to get a sponsor. That's another story, but we'll keep working on that.
Has anyone listened to it besides our mom?
Right. And I tell you what, if you're looking for an excuse, something else to a reason to sponsor, just because we give you the most accurate predictions, like last week on this very podcast, Trudy, you missed it. I called it. I call the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, over Virginia in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
I believe you also called Rhode Island, too.
Well, Did you really?
Well, Rhode Island's a 7 over a 10 seed. That was neat. That was a favorite pick.
That happens.
Oh, also, that was total bullcrap. I did not call the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, over Virginia. I had Virginia in the final against Villanova. I had an all-V final.
So your bracket's sucking.
My bracket's about... half of it's right. Of the Sweet 16, I've got 8 in there still.
Oh, that's good. I was actually looking up mine. For a moment in time over the weekend, I was actually in second place in the pool here at the radio station.
Now
I am in 7th because I ended up losing my eventual national champion, UNC, when they went down to Texas A&M.
Pick Carolina. I tell you what, of all the upsets this weekend, obviously with Virginia being the most shocking one of all, shockers, Marshall, another one over Wichita State. But I was stunned. I was most stunned, even more than Virginia, I was most stunned by Michigan State out in the first weekend. Tom Izzo's Michigan State Spartans are never, ever out the first weekend of March Madness.
Well, neither is UNC.
Yeah, but I don't care about North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Well, I have all of my Final Four, all of my national champions, they're all gone. That's it. I'm done.
You're
toast,
done.
Cooked.
Somehow I'm still in third place, and I don't know how.
I've got Villanova winning the whole thing, so I'm still in it as well. But it's funny. We did a Facebook poll on our Q104 Facebook page this morning, and we asked folks to the popular thing to do now on Facebook is to people to comment, but only use a GIF instead of typing your comments.
Use
a GIF.
Yeah.
So we said, describe your brackets using only a GIF. We had a couple of nuclear explosions.
Yeah.
We had a failed slam dunk contest contestant, and we had a dog pooping.
Oh, good.
Sounds pretty accurate.
Right?
Somebody have the dumpster on fire? That's
a
popular
did.
One.
We did have the dumpster fire. But you know what? I didn't show any love to the dumpster fire because that's an overused GIF now.
Sure.
The internet is full of infinite GIFs. It's up to you to come up with a new original GIF that hasn't been seen yet. Mm-hmm. Search around and look.
Okay. All right. I was on the plane back from California. When we landed, you're able to turn your phones back on. They're like, hey, we've landed. You can take your phone off airplane mode, of which there have been a few times I've flown that I actually forgot to put my phone on airplane mode, and we still made it. So, hey, pro tip, you survive. I mean, you know.
You don't want to risk it, though.
You live.
You don't need to encourage
that
kind of outlawish behavior.
I'm just saying that it was okay.
But it wasn't okay. Your plane's GPS probably screwed up. You're probably lucky. You had an experienced pilot who knows the skies so well that he was still able to navigate his route safely to Kansas City.
Oh, really?
It's probably accurate.
That's it?
Because if everyone did that, look where you guys would have ended up in Atlanta.
Or in a field on fire.
Oh, that's great.
Well, that's a bit dramatic, but could be.
I land. I get the notification that for the first time in history, a 16 has beaten a 1. And I think the entire plane got the same notification at the same time. There was actually a smattering of applause through the plane as people are like, oh, look at this. Look at this. Check this out.
Who's
wild?
Yeah. Who's UMBC? Oh, I got it. UMBC. Who's UMBC?
I was my bank beat Virginia. Was that what happened? That was crazy.
UMBC. An account for you. That's what it
the
sounds
retrievers.
Like. The retriever. Now, I heard that their actual name is a different breed of dog. They're like the terriers, but their logo is the retrievers or something strange like that. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
Like, look up the official mascot of UMBC. And I could have read this. I could have been fooled because I drank a lot this weekend because my mother-in-law was in town. So,
ooh, buddy.
No, it was a good thing. I don't mean that in a negative way. I guess I should rephrase that.
Okay.
No, my mother-in-law Julie is awesome, and she's
you were partying drinking.
It was party drinking. Yeah, she was drinking right there with us. Matter of fact, she lands. I pick her up because Katie's busy. She's coming home from work, so I'm like, oh, I'll go pick her up because you know brownie points.
Yeah.
And we have a good chat on the way. I have a 40-minute drive back to the house, and we get there, and within 90 minutes. My wife and her mother had already downed their first bottle of wine.
What?
I did meet your mother-in-law at the concert on Saturday.
Wow.
And she's a lot of fun. I like her.
She's sassy just like her daughter is. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that. And I'm sassy right there with him. It's a good relationship. So kudos and shout out to Julie, who will never in a million years listen to this podcast.
Probably not.
But it was a pleasure having you. She flew in from Chicago for the weekend to hang with us.
Awesome.
And she even defended him. Yeah, they did a live broadcast Saturday morning, and she defended him and said he was the best son-in-law she's ever had.
Oh, well, look at that.
No,
she'll say that about the second one.
Lot?
Yeah, no.
No, I'm the only son-in-law, and she did not say it she's ever had. She said he is the best son-in-law in the world was her actual
Wow.
Was her terms of phrase there. So thank you, Julie. That's very nice.
You were drinking,
well,
you don't remember.
I'm glad that it was a drinking in party as opposed to drinking in sorrow.
Yeah, no, it was happy drunk.
Good.
Ah, that's what we were doing.
And by the way... The mascot, the official mascot, is the retriever mascot, a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, which is the state dog of Maryland.
Okay.
So there you go.
I stand corrected. I must have been drunk tweeting or something.
Do a lot of states have a state dog?
I don't know. I just learned that.
You know, Kansas, Addie can go through and she's like, well, the state bird is this and the state tree is that and the state song is blah.
Maybe.
But who has a state dog?
Well, maybe it's just because it's Chesapeake Bay, Maryland.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know. They just said, here, have a dog.
I have to give credit where credit is due. Both Kansas teams are now still. So the state of Kansas accounts for 12.5% of the remaining tournament contenders for the NCAA National Championship. Congrats to the Wildcats, who, I tell you what, talk about the ultimate down up. They get a second round matchup against the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. And now, hey, you won. Congratulations. Here's Kentucky.
Yeah, right.
Wildcat here. Versus Wildcat. I think you pointed that out.
Buzzsaw.
Yeah, Trudy, when you were here last week, we had we laid out all 64 teams, and on your left side of your bracket, in a row, there were four Wildcats listed in a row.
Is that right?
Starting with Kansas, it was Kansas State,
okay,
Arizona,
right?
One more, and then Kentucky. It's
Kansas State, Arizona, Kentucky, and who else is a Wildcat?
There was a fourth. Shaylee's looking. She's Googling it.
Okay, all right.
But there was a fourth Wildcat. And we'll get that figured out here. But it's right here at the top left. Thank you. Kansas State, Kentucky, Davidson. Yeah.
Davidson.
Yeah. Oh, we had Steph Curry and that's all Davidson's ever had. Whatever. Congratulations to Florida State, who whooped the crap out of my Missouri Tigers. But then they went on and upset Xavier, the next number one seed, to get eliminated. So congratulations.
That was a great game. There were a lot of awesome games this weekend.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And maybe I'm wrong. I only watch basketball during March Madness. Yep. But I feel like this year specifically, there's been way more upsets than there ever have been. Am I wrong? I know, obviously, the 16 seed. Obviously, that's never happened. But
Yeah, that statement is kind of right. I'm not saying that in a mean way, but there are plenty of upsets every year. It's just that by now the bracketologists pick, and you can almost predict the upsets. But these upsets have been unpredictable.
Right.
Syracuse had no right to beating Michigan State.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. UMBC had no right beating Virginia. But I almost want to say that Virginia had no right being a number one seed.
Oh.
Well, they didn't have their best scorer either. I mean, they didn't have their big guy, so...
I don't care.
How does one become a bracketologist?
They were not their 100%. Well, if you're Joe Lenardi and you call yourself a bracketologist...
That's not a cool name.
You are one.
Yeah, if you're a college basketball analyst and it's your job, I would say that qualifies you as a bracketologist.
Not a cool name. Like
or
that's
another fancy word for orthodontist.
I do think... I do think that overall this year, if you would have asked me at the beginning of the year to predict... who was going to be here at the end of the year. It was really hard. I don't mean to put down college basketball as a whole, But I think this year that the talent pool, it was almost like a Kansas level overall. There were some really good teams out there, but only because somebody has to win. And I think that overall there's a lot of parity in college basketball right now because there aren't a lot of standout teams. You couldn't say, man, Kentucky is really dominant this year. Duke is going to run the table this year. I think that the teams like that, they are good. Duke is really good. Kentucky had its moments. They had a lull kind of in the middle of the season. But there were there was a lot of equality. I mean, Kansas, you know, they get beat by Oklahoma State. They get beat by, you know, numerous times at home this year. There weren't that dominant teams in basketball like there were in years past.
I like that you used the 2018 word of the year, equality. See there? got a little political on you there.
I'm woke.
But I tell you what, speaking of that, let's then shift to what's wrong with women's basketball right now.
Okay.
Because you just brought up a great point. I think it's great for college basketball that you can have a 16 up beat a number one or all the other random upsets like Syracuse or whatnot.
Yeah.
Can you honestly tell me, and I don't mean to come off as rude, but who in their right mind is going to waste their time this year watching the women's tournament? There's no need. UConn in their first round matchup scored 94 points.
Right.
In the first half.
Good night.
They were up 94 to 30-something at halftime. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a no fault of Gino, their head coach. It's no fault of their players, who, of course, should play as hard as they can for the entire length of the game. That is not good for the sport. The NCAA has to do something about women's college basketball, and I don't know what they can do, but it's too boring. It's too boring when you have one team that this isn't like the Patriots.
Yeah,
the Patriots, like in football or whatever, there's you know, even though they're always the favorite, there's certainly an opportunity for any other team on any given day to pull an upset on them. You can't beat UConn, right? A 60-point halftime lead is ridiculous.
You know, what's interesting is, so I was on the way home from the concert on Saturday night, and our Z-Trip driver brought up a good point. She said, I normally make really, really good money during the NCAA tournament when it's in town, when the men team are in town. She said, I make more money when the NAIA females are in town for basketball at Municipal. She said, I make more money that way. And she said, and I said, why is that? And she said, it's because these teams don't normally play each other. People come in from all over the country to come see this. I thought that was very interesting. Now, it's not going to be your UConn example.
Well, I wonder if when the women's NCAA tournament comes to town and it's, and UConn's not a part of that, does the Sprint Center even sell 2,500 tickets to a game?
I don't know. It depends. I mean, look at how well volleyball sold.
That's true. That was sold out.
That NCAA volleyball championship a couple months ago sold 18,000 tickets.
We had people asking for us. Yeah.
That was huge.
Now, you may not know this little fun fact about your buddy Mike Kelly here, but for 4 years, yours truly was the voice of Mizzou women's volleyball.
Is that right?
I was the, I mean, I know you're UPA for some team called the Chiefs.
Yeah, a little football team.
But I was the public address announcer for your Mizzou women's volleyball team.
That's awesome.
The team that won, I was there calling it when they won the first SEC championship in any sport in the history of the University of Missouri.
No kidding.
Well, look at you. Did you get a plaque or something for that?
I did not get a plaque, but if you look up on the, if you go to the Hearn Center, which is where the volleyball team plays, there's a mural on the wall, the top floor of the celebration, and right in the middle is the guy who's shorter than all the women volleyball players holding a microphone saying, hey, can I get a word with you? And then reaching up as far as I can to talk to the shortest player on the team.
Is it like a character?
That's awesome. It was like the time I interviewed Shaquille O'Neal. It was the same way. Oh, my tippy toes.
Right.
There we go. I finally got him.
I feel like that story is way cooler than Mike's.
That's true.
I don't care.
Well,
I enjoyed it.
Did they make you wear the shorts?
No, but they actually did give me a pair, and I still have it to this day, of the warm-up pants that they wore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because they didn't want me in the shorts for obvious reasons.
It's good.
He still wore them anyway, though. Which is weird.
Well, I mean, to your point, I don't know what the NCAA can do. If it's a talent problem, if it's a recruiting problem, UConn has obviously been very dominant in that women's basketball for a long time. They're going to want to play there, but can other schools find a way to recruit talent against them, to compete against them? I mean, did people in the 60s and early 70s say, man, college basketball sucks because UCLA is so good? Probably, but you know what? NC State found a way to beat them in, 72? So, I mean, somebody's got to step up and take them on.
I hope so. It was Mississippi State, beat them last year and then lost in the final.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I it's not something I'm overly stressed about, but as you bring up the topic, I just, a 60-point, 94 points in the first half, that's just unacceptable.
It's wild.
On any, I don't care if it's a 116 matchup of his UConn. That's, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
All right.
Can we talk about what I've been freaking out over and I was texting Mike almost every single day about last week?
Probably golf.
It wasn't. It actually wasn't golf.
Probably soccer.
It wasn't soccer.
Oh, my gosh. Then what's left? The Kentucky Derby.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that was not it. I was trying to find my hat.
You got an early line on the horsies?
Yes, exactly.
Actually, no. Shaylee drunk texted me after a couple of mint juleps and I had to remind her, I'm married. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And then she's like, that's not, I'm calling for your wife. And I'm like, whoa.
Hey-o.
I'd rather hang out with your wife anyway. No. All the crazy NFL signings last week. It was like floodgates opened.
Oh, that's true.
And it was just like, every player that I kept seeing on my Instagram feed was, oh, hey, look, I'm now a Raider or whatever. I was completely thrown off, and Mike just kept ignoring my texts like a jerk.
Oh, yeah, and if you text me again, I'll ignore you again. Jordy Nelson as a Raider is going to look weird this year.
It's going to look weird, but, I mean, like my uncle brought up, is the GM that brought him to the Packers is now at the Raiders, so... Makes sense.
I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
About time you dropped some sports knowledge on this show.
It wasn't even mine. It was my uncle's.
It doesn't matter who gives it to you.
But can I please, I have a legitimate question for you guys. Why did we pick up Chad Henne as a backup quarterback? The man has not played in 3 years. Not well. He hasn't done a snap in God knows how long. But why? We couldn't find anybody else. I'm sure there was a high school kid that was willing to make some money.
Well, old sarcasm aside, Chad Henne is still an upgrade over Tyler Bray at backup.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll give you that. Plus 10 on that one.
So they did improve at the position, which is what fans asked them to do. Are there better options out there? I don't know. Were finances an issue? I don't know. I thought they were going to snag one of the Minnesota quarterbacks. They didn't.
That hurts. All of our three quarterbacks that I thought we were going to keep, JK, they all went somewhere else.
Yeah, but if you look at it, I mean, look, if we still had Alex Smith and we didn't have Pat Mahomes, we just had Tyler Bray, and we had the free agent market that we're in now, I would say, yeah, let's go out and spend some money and try to pick up somebody who's a cast-off.
Mm-hmm.
But really, we've got a quarterback of the future. We're spending in other parts of the offense and defense, and I'm going, eh, we can afford to have somebody like Chad Henne hanging around.
But here's my worry.
We don't need to spend a lot of money on quarterbacks right now.
Here's my worry is that Mahomes is risky, and he's a runner. He's going to get hurt, and that's my biggest worry. Then 2-3 weeks in, maybe a month. I know, but, I mean, ACL tears don't – that doesn't matter. You're out.
Yeah, Robert Griffin III was young. We do have to
–
That's a good point.
I'm just saying. Now, there is one key element of the NFL season you're forgetting.
What's that?
A little thing called the draft.
Well, there is that.
Now, the Chiefs might a fifth or sixth round quarterback who, like – you're like, oh, yeah, I remember him. And you know, Brady was drafted in the sixth round. I'm just saying, maybe there's a plan to bring on a rookie who is going to be more of a backup role.
I hope you're right. Because, A, we don't have any defense now. Our offense is great. But I don't feel like our defense is much to talk about.
I got to tell you, I think the Chiefs made a great signing. And I think it's a more significant signing than Sammy Watkins. Bringing Anthony Hitchens in from the Dallas Cowboys.
I do agree with that.
Beautiful signing.
Nope, that's good.
By the Kansas City Chiefs.
Will this, you know what, I almost for a little bit before we signed him, I thought, well, you know what, all this will be is like the 2003 Chiefs where we scored 60 points on everybody, and yet we also gave up 60 points to everybody as well.
Right.
I mean, it might be a high-flying season, but look, it's going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be exciting. I think that they've really put some, key positions in place to where it's going to be fun to watch.
I'm excited for the season overall because San Francisco, who wasn't really much to talk about at all, I feel like it's pretty stacked this year. I mean, you've got Garoppolo, which you don't really know how that's going to go, period. Now they have McKinnon, who I can tell you is freaking amazing. Richard Sherman. Don't give me that look. Why'd you just raise your eyes at me?
Make your point. And then I'll present a counterpoint. I don't agree is all.
Okay. Well, you don't have to. But I'm just saying that I feel like they actually have a shot. What are you laughing at me for?
We're allowed to disagree on this podcast is all I'm saying.
I know, but I didn't like the look.
I didn't mean to. It was a ding, like, oh, I have a thought on that look. And if it came off disrespectful, I apologize. I didn't mean to, but get over it and make your point already.
Well, if you would have been listening to me, I already did.
I was listening. That's why my eyebrows raised so high. I was like, really? That's
all right,
what
so
you
what do you think? Do you have a particular thought on the 49ers
slug
in general,
him in the
Mike,
face.
Or?
Jimmy Garoppolo is a great signing, and I will disagree. I think he has proven himself. I think when you take a team that's so bad, and then you trade Garoppolo, and all he needs is a week, and then he's your starter, and then he goes 6-0, I think that's why they gave him the money they did, and I think it's well-deserved. I think he has proven himself, and all they've done since then is add weapons around him. And Jerick McKinnon, I feel like maybe you're a little Vikings homer towards Jerick McKinnon. I think Jerick was the benefit of an above-average line, and I don't know a lot about San Francisco's line. But if they're not as good as Minnesota's was, Minnesota had a great offensive line because that's why Case Keenum was successful. By the way, praise to the Jesus that Case Keenum is the Denver Broncos starting quarterback. Kansas City just got another two bye weeks with Case Keenum and the Denver Broncos. Get out of here. That's the Case Keenum will not. He'll do okay in 8-9 wins, maybe. That's all Case Keenum's going to do. We all know that Case Keenum is a career backup quarterback. But back to Jerick McKinnon. I would love to be proven wrong, but I'm telling you that San Francisco's offensive line was not Minnesota's offensive line. Mm-hmm. And without that line in front of him, we'll see how good Jerick McKinnon really is. I completely agree with you on the Richard Sherman signing. Brilliant in the same division as Seattle. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to watch those games.
Did you see what he said? He said, the reason I signed with San Francisco is because we play Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I love that. And no, I mean, I was saying Garoppolo, I think, absolutely proved himself. But with these key people in there, he's going to be even more amazing. I think they're actually going to be a really big contender this year. Seattle has gotten nothing.
So my question was going to be, before we got to this, okay, with Keenum at the Broncos, with Jordy Nelson at the Raiders, how does the AFC West shake out this year so far? So far, before the draft, before anything happens.
Kansas City, easily, and by far and away, right now, has the best offense in the AFC West.
That's right.
Patrick
Agreed.
Mahomes is going to be lightning with Kareem Hunt behind him, mm-hmm. with Ty Hill on one side, and now with Sammy Watkins. And here's the deal with Sammy. Sammy Watkins is your typical fast wide receiver. He's a not as fast version of Tyreek Hill. He is fast, and he'll be running past a lot of corners.
Right.
But he'll have an occasional case of the dropsies.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be what Chiefs Kingdom will start yelling at Sammy Watkins about week five. Hopefully, the key with Sammy is, when does he drop the ball? Will he drop the ball in the first quarter when it doesn't matter as much, or will it be that game winning touchdown? But the Chiefs, if they keep using. I hope they use the same system with Mahomes that they used with Smith last year, which was, let's chuck the ball down the field to these receivers who are really fast. Because with Sammy on one side and Ty on the other side, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Hey, Denver, you've got Aqib Talib to stop. Oh, he's a Ram.
Yeah.
He's a Ram.
Not
going
to have him anymore.
Oh.
Got a new number 21 in Denver. Whoops
about that. Sorry.
Defense,
we'll see, though.
It was interesting that they pulled out the offense that they did last year on Smith. I mean, I don't know if it was a case of, like, this is the contract year. Let's see what he does. Let's see if he can perform this way. We'll shut the fans up if he is able to bomb the ball down the field. You know, it's like we didn't quite have the weapons in place yet. We had, you know, it was interesting to see why they did that. I don't see the system changing because it's still Andy Reid and it's still – you know, these guys in the coaching positions that they are. I'm excited for the guys we have stepping up. And if Kelsey's had some dropsies too.
I didn't bring up Travis Kelce.
Kelsey's had some dropsies too. So we're used to that. And unfortunately, Kelsey gets dropsies when we're close to the red zone too, which could be a problem. But
if they do a high like what Mike's saying, I mean, he's got a few inches on everybody else. And he's
no
taller.
Question. And look, and Kelsey is not opposed to mixing it up and getting in there throwing a block, too. So I think the options are plentiful.
Kansas City, it'll come down to the defense. You know, I love the addition of Hitchens, but you lose Marcus Peters, and we all agreed weeks ago, and that was the was a ridiculous decision by Kansas City, in our humble opinion. Then again, they're paid a lot more to make a lot harder decisions than we are. And this is the beauty of this podcast, is we're not professionals. We're not we're radio professionals. We're really good at that. But sports professionals, we are not. And when it comes to analyzing the sports, this is more like a drunken bar conversation than a sports center.
Here's my question, is that Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson have had such a good partnership for so many years. They knew what each other was going to do before they did it. Now Jordy's at the Raiders. Aaron really doesn't have anybody else that has any kind of connection like that. I think that's what they're thinking is going to happen with Jimmy Graham, but I haven't seen Jimmy Graham do anything since he left the Saints. I really haven't. And, I mean, yeah, he's got the height, but he hasn't been that impressive.
On the other end of that discussion, I think, and I'm nervous to say, that I think Derek Carr and Jordy Nelson will click.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, buddy.
The Raiders are the team that scare me the most, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then there's L.A., San Diego, wherever they're at now. Chargers.
The Chargers of California somewhere.
The California Chargers.
Yeah.
That's their
Chargers.
New name. The
there
California
we go.
Chargers.
That's it. Yeah, they were a surprise team last year.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they do a lot this year. We'll see. Are the Chiefs going to be three-time AFC West champions? Right now?
Oh,
sure.
I think it's possible.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll come down to KC and Oakland again, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden, and it only happened once, but hey, it's worth mentioning, can Derek Carr stay healthy for a full 16 games? Because if he can't, the Raiders are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me right now, Chiefs going to three-peat? Tell me who else. Oakland, mm-hmm. maybe.
I think that's your biggest competition.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't
yeah,
have
like I said,
you.
I think Oakland's a team that scares me the most. But, you know, Denver doesn't seem to strike fear in our hearts at all. I mean,
their defense still does. My main concern about with Denver is if Von Miller gets a hold of Patrick Mahomes and goes the knee.
Right.
We'll see.
Right. And the Chargers have a way of playing up, I think, when they face people like Kansas City. They've given us some good games, not to say that they're going to be any sort of a threat to the division title. But, I think KC has a really good chance to three-peat.
You know what? Uniform alert. Why in the world don't the Chargers wear powder blue for their home uniforms all the time? What are they still doing with dark blue uniforms? San Diego is a powder blue. Those powder blue uniforms are the best looking in football, in all of football. And I'll say that. I'll say that
really?
Here in Kansas City, where people say that the red and yellow of the Chiefs. Personally, I think the Chiefs are due for a uniform upgrade. I know.
Man.
I would get the yellow out of Kansas City's colors. I really would.
Red and you now. Would replace
just
it with?
Red and white.
Nothing. Red and white.
Just red and white.
Red and white.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. With little black outlining like they have on the Arrowhead
yeah.
logo. And
yeah.
I would get rid of all the yellow. But the powder blue of San Diego, when they wear the powder blue, they wear them once a year. And in my opinion, that is ridiculous. Those powder blues should be worn every single game, and those navy blue uniforms should be thrown in the nearest fire pit.
What do you think of when the Chiefs come out red on red?
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm with you. Ugh. It doesn't look good with the it's just the red and yellow, two warm colors that's never been my favorite color combination. I like when opposite colors
mm-hmm.
mix well together. The red on red is not great. The white on white's okay for the away game. I like the white on white with just about any uniform because I just think it's a real clean look. But the red on red's not good.
The red on red to me every time just looks like Santa. It's too much. It's way too much red.
It is a lot of red. Yeah.
I just can't.
If unless they're doing like let's red out the Arrowhead promotion or something like red out the
what
I said that
red it out. Okay.
Red
let's
out Arrowhead.
Red it out, everybody.
Let's look like my brackets all red.
Oh, so sad.
Good Lord.
And accurate.
I have something I'd like to bring up that I read, and I don't know if this was in the Kansas City Star. I don't know mm-hmm. if this was some Yahoo on Twitter. I don't know who this is, so I'm sorry I don't have the source.
Because he was wasted all weekend.
But there was this was actually earlier. This was probably like Wednesday of last week I saw this. But there is a suggestion out there, I want your opinion before I give you mine. Because Mike Moustakas got such a late start to spring training, that maybe it would behoove him to start the season as an Omaha Storm chaser before getting called up after 2 weeks or a month to start playing for the Royals. How do you feel about that?
Ooh, really?
Yeah, because the plan was to play Chesler, Cuthbert at third this year.
Yeah.
And they didn't expect Moose to come back.
Right.
So start Chesler at third for the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the season, get Moose some more seasoning in Omaha, and then bring him on after a couple weeks when he's kind of warmed up, like when he's had like a what the equivalent of a full spring training.
I'm going to go with no. And the only reason I say that is because I feel like one of the biggest things with spring training, with anything along that line, is you have to gel with your team. If you're going to try to get warmed up, like you're saying, in Omaha, which is fine, but I don't really feel he doesn't already have that in the bag. He's fine. He just needs to get back with the new team.
I'm going to say if he is any kind of pro, then even if he was sitting out of spring training, then he should have been doing at least some warming up on his own, that he has a routine that he probably gets into every year regardless. That he's probably, you know, done some workouts and stuff on his own. I think that if you've gotten rid of Hosmer and you've gotten rid of a lot of these other guys who are leaders in the locker room, you will benefit by having somebody like a Moose there right off the very beginning to help these young guys come in and get acclimated to the clubhouse, to the team. I think even if his production is a little bit lower than it was in years prior, just for this time period until he gets warmed up, the experience of having a leader in the clubhouse, to me, it overrides anything that you would get out of sending him to Omaha. So let's hear your opinion.
I was hoping that one of you would say, not a bad idea, so I could promptly rip you a new one. But you're both correct. and we can analyze it, and we could say all these fancy words and paragraphs and give you stat after stat after stat. Here's a question for you. Who do you think helps the Royals more offensively and defensively? A fully spring-trained Chesler Cuthbert or a 2 weeks of spring training Mike Moustakas?
Mike Moustakas could come in the day before and be just as good.
We've seen Moose come off of injury and stuff before. I mean, it's the experience of being in the league with the team for so long, for having the name. To me, there's no comparison.
Okay. You guys are right. I'll get you some Tootsie Rolls here.
Sweet.
You made the correct answer. I know this is nothing more than an opinion, but your opinion is correct. And if you had said the other thing, I would have. I was really looking forward to ripping somebody a new one there, but it didn't happen. But good for you. You guys are a little more smart than you look, so that's good.
Well, So let's send Chesler.
He's not going to laugh very hard when I punch him in the junk.
Let's send Chesler Cuthbert down for a couple of for a couple of weeks then, huh?
Sorry. Yeah. I mean, if you have to listen, it's a business at the end of the day. By the way, Chesler. Oh, Truda wasn't here for this last week. Buddy, I got a bold prediction for you. It's going to blow your socks off.
I'm ready.
And
I hope
he did not listen.
An extra pair of socks, and screw you for not listening. So here's why I'm not worried about Chesler's.
I was in California.
So you had a plane ride.
Yeah, do you not have the internet in California?
They have movies on that plane now. I didn't accomplish anything on the plane.
Don't listen to him. Please listen to us every week.
Right. You're watching Frozen for the umpteenth time or the Oscars.
No, it was the Lifetime movie, whatever
Lifetime
was on.
Movie. You cried. Judah's crying at Lifetime movies on the plane.
He was watching 27 Dresses, weren't you?
Jennifer Lawrence movie Mother, which was a waste of 2 hours if I weren't in the air and had nothing else to do anyway. It was awful.
Anyway, back to your prediction.
I forgot what we were talking about.
Your bold prediction last year.
That's right. That's
right. Here's why this won't interfere with Chesler Cuthbert's development or playing time or anything like that. Chesler may have to spend a little bit of time in the minor leagues this year because Moustakas is around. But I think that before this year is over, Mike Moustakas will not be a Royal. I look at Mike Moustakas as the ultimate trade deadline bait. And I even made the prediction that I think the St. Louis Cardinals are going to be the one who bite.
What?
Yeah.
They're going to be the ones who bite.
Wow.
And listen, if you want to hear the full reason behind this, go to last week's podcast. You can just search. You found us here, so just go to episode 4. About 20 minutes into that podcast, I'll give you the bold prediction, and I'll tell you why, in exact detail, why by this year's trade deadline that Mike Moustakas will be a St. Louis Cardinal and Chesler will get back to his full-time duties at third base for Kansas City this year.
And okay. I got to be honest, I can kind of see it.
Hey, look, you didn't knock my socks off when you said that he'd be trade bait because Yes, I think a lot of people are talking about that. I could definitely see him not being in the Royal after the deadline. But the St. Louis Cardinals, there go my socks, man. There go my shoes, too.
Boom, there they go.
Ah.
Bye, Felicia.
All right, I gotta go back and listen to last week's podcast.
Well, I would hope so, considering you're one of the three people on this show.
I was out of town.
What'd you do this weekend?
I watched basketball.
Did you go to the sporting game?
I did. Yes, I did. For a half.
Mm-hmm. For a half?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then my wife got locked out of the house, so I had to go back and let her in. And it was only then that I realized that I didn't have a key to the house either. So,
oh, for the love. Yeah, so what happened?
Well, we took the screen off the window, and there's a window that we leave that I had left unlocked, and we pushed Addie through the window, and she went in and came around and unlocked the door. I crap you not. That is how we got into the house.
Wow. So how was the half of the game that you did get to see?
Freaking cool. And he's dying over here. He's dying. But look, I'll tell you what, people. If you have a key to your house, make multiple copies of that. Because we were gone, we had given the emergency keys out to our family and, you know, parents would come over and dog sit and stuff like that.
Don't you have what about your garage door opener?
It only lets the door between the garage and the house was deadbolted also.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, why'd you do that?
You leave the garage door unlocked. Yeah. That's common knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know why we locked it, but we did. So they were able to get into the garage and she calls me and says, hey, come home. I don't have a key. And I came home and I realized that I was going to use the garage door code also. So I didn't have a key.
That's funny. I'm sorry, man. I don't know what to tell you.
It's the way it works.
But I got to tell you, it did prevent because Shaylee and I had the vodka and we were ready. And we were crashing Truda's house. Mm-hmm. Damn garage deadbolt.
Right. That's the problem. I'll give you guys an extra key, though. So next time I have a problem, I can call you guys and say, hey, can I borrow my key?
Well, I'm going to just do what you do to me and just ignore it.
I do ignore every one of her texts and emails.
I ignore about 80% because most of the time when she texts me, it's like, hey, will you tell Katie this? And I'm like, you have my wife's phone number.
Right.
Just text her. Leave me the hell alone. I don't want to talk to you. It's not Monday.
Oh.
I actually did kick him that time.
Sporting wins 3-2, though. Gets a nice home 3 points. That was awesome.
How was Wando?
The half I saw was great. I mean, it was cold, but when I left a half, it was tied 1-1. We did give up a stupid one that nobody could. I mean, you know, look, Wando flips it off of his foot. Melia can't get to the ball. It goes in the net. What are you going to do about that?
Got to be honest. I love Tim Melia. I think he is the product of a panther and a brick wall put together. He's amazing. This year? I mean, after just winning goalkeeper of the year? I got to be honest. I'm a little disappointed.
I'm with you there.
Something's not clicking with him, and I don't know what it is, because before, nothing got past that guy. Nothing. And this? No.
You know what? And some weird offensive choices from him, too.
I know what it is.
What?
I've done some internal research on this. Believe it or not.
I feel like you're lying.
No, I'm trying to get better at soccer. You guys know this. I'm trying to get better at soccer, and I know what it is.
What's that?
Sure.
It's apparently Sporting KC doesn't want to wear their own colors anymore because all three games they've worn the stupid black kits. Can you go back to your regular colors, Sporting KC?
I'm very proud you said kits.
Kits, thank you.
You're welcome, but
maybe
to be
that'll
fair,
that'll fix your keeper. If he wore the right kits, and you'd stop getting, and he'd start putting up nils.
He always doesn't wear the same colors,
right,
Mike? That's the whole point.
The keeper doesn't wear the same kit.
No, but he's distracted by the stupid black uniforms that are about as creative as something not very creative. Like the
like
insult.
Like example?
Like the insult, yeah. Yeah, their uniforms are as creative as that insult that I just hurled.
Woo!
I'll let Tamelia know you said that.
Mm-hmm. I don't care, do. And then he'll be like, hey, what would you do? And the first answer is on the black kits. Just throw a little Argyle patterning in there.
That's all it takes.
You guys are more girly than I am.
Break it up a little bit, right?
Let's wear a solid black uniform and then just put some silver numbers on it in Kansas City, like look like the Raiders. That's a brilliant idea, Sporting KC.
Jordy Nelson's going to start playing for Sporting. How about that?
You know what? I'll take him.